Now back to the beat.
720 WGN.
720 WGN 505 on a beautiful Sunday afternoon. Soak in the summer because football is right around the corner. That will make your fall feel better. We got Big Ten football on this very radio station coming up this Saturday. PJ Fleck, the Western Michigan Fighting Broncos, coming to Ryan Field. Dave Revson of the Big Ten Network joining us. We're looking around the entire Big Ten. Good afternoon, Dave. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Hey, Mark. Hey, Adam. How are you guys?
Great. I'm getting excited about football finally being back. It's a little sad that it means the end of summer, but football does make the fall a great time of year. And Rever, we got a heck of a first weekend of college football. I wish they balanced this out a little bit more between week one and week two. It seems like there's always a letdown in week two, but this is going to be a great opening weekend.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, high-profile games all over the place. The biggest one in the Big Ten, probably national profile-wise, being that LSU-Wisconsin game at Lambeau, but all kinds of really intriguing action all over the country. I think you could make a case it's the best opening weekend of college football in recent memory. Back in the old days, we kind of used to get games like this because there were fewer games, and so you didn't have the kind of the run-up to the season that we've had in recent years. But, I mean, that's 40, 50 years ago. It's been a long time since we've had a weekend this good.
Before we get further into the Big Ten, I just want to brace everybody that we will be talking about the incredible talent that Dave has in yoga, because I have seen it live, and there's a flexibility that Dave Revson brings to his yoga that few men have ever achieved. Dave, I hope you're comfortable with that, but you know, just bracing. That'll be later in the show. Right now, do you think Michigan's the most talented team? Because most experts claim to think that Michigan has the most talent in the conference this year.
It's funny, I was in the downward facing dog thinking about this morning. Is Michigan the most talented team? I would actually say Ohio State is the most talented team if you're measuring talent on kind of athleticism, depth, and all of those types of things. But if you're looking at experienced talent, I might say Michigan has a leg up on them right now. The issue with Ohio State is more than half of their players, of their scholarship players, have never played in a college game, which is kind of mind-boggling. It's 43 of 85 have never played a down of college football. Wow. And yet a lot of people are looking at them as a top five team, and it's understandable when you go watch them practice. You know, Jerry DiNardo and Howard Griffith and I just took our bus tour and saw everyone over the 18 days or so, all 14 Big Ten teams. And it is amazing, the talent level in Columbus, but again, it's so young and so inexperienced, and so it's just kind of hard to know how it's going to translate, although certainly the recruiting rankings would lead you to believe, and recent history would lead you to believe they'll be really good right away. I think if they played right now, I might give Michigan the leg up, but of course the beauty of that game is it's saved for the end of the year.
He's Dave Revson. He's been at Big Ten Network since the start. How many years has it been now, Dave? Has it been a full decade?
This is our 10th year on the air. So
Wow. We
launched 9 years ago, right? And then we were kind of in year one, right, when we launched. So We launched in 2007, our 10th football season. It's really hard to believe.
That's pretty cool. And you guys are taking the show on the road a little bit this year, right?
We are. We're going to do the pregame show starting in conference play from the road. So I'm really excited about that. It's weird in year 10 to have something new that you can get fired up about. And I think it's going to be fantastic for us. We've talked about it for years and just felt like this was the time to do it. I think it's a way for us to reach fans more than we have in the past. I really think that's always been the biggest challenge, is how do you connect with fans in a different sort of way? I mean, the fan base is really, as I've come to learn, have such a personal connection to these schools. And so to be out there and get a sense for that, we've done it sporadically here and there. We've had shows on the road through the years, but this will be the first time that we do it week in and week out, 10 weeks, and really, really fired up about it.
Now, is it going to be kind of a week-by-week thing where your guys kind of let the schedule play out and see which ones are the biggest destinations each week?
Yeah, it'll be announced. I think we might announce the first few coming up here. There are some that are kind of written in stone. And then once we get into the season, it's just going to be a function of where we feel like the best atmosphere and the best game would be for us. And so it's not necessarily going to be a game that's on BTN or anything like that. Some of them may be, some of them may not. But it's just going to be trying to get around the conference as much as we can, but also being places where you've got a big game going on.
Well, we just saw you guys out on the road plenty, too, in the last few weeks as you got a chance to see every single team, as you mentioned. What was the biggest surprise of any team that you guys came across?
Well, that's a good one. I would actually – I know this sounds a little bit like a cop-out, but I'd say Michigan State to a certain extent. I didn't think – I kind of thought there might be a slight drop-off this year, and there may be in terms of one loss record. I mean, we'll see here. This is a program now that five of the last 6 years has won at least 11 games, which is kind of mind-boggling. Mark D'Antonio is the first Big Ten coach ever to do that in the span of 6 years to have five 11-win seasons. Whether or not they'll get to 11 this year, I don't know, but I don't think there's a huge drop-off there. I mean, they did lose some big-time contributors. They lost some leaders off of last year's team, but I still think this is going to be a really competitive team. And so I would count them among the elite talent-wise in the league, along with Ohio State and Michigan. So that might have been one of the surprises. I think Rutgers is a little further along than we thought. I don't necessarily think it'll translate in the record because their schedule's really tough. 9 of the 12 teams they play this year were in bowls last year. But I think Chris Ash has done a nice job, and he, frankly, was left with a fairly good roster by Kyle Flood there. They underachieved dramatically last year with all the off-the-field distractions, but they were a little bit better than I thought. So on the bottom end, I'd say them. On the top end, I might say Michigan State.
Dave, class of 1996, University of Iowa, it's near and dear to my heart. And I think people forget that the Iowa Hawkeyes went into the Big Ten championship game last year undefeated. But, of course, it didn't work out there or in the Rose Bowl. I think people are sleeping on Iowa, though. There's no respect for the Hawkeyes. No one's really even picking them to win their side of the conference.
Well, I think most people are, actually.
Yeah, they're ranked 17th.
I'm looking at previews here, third, second. Like, come on, man.
Really? No one's picking Hoge's guys to win it with their schedule.
Right, they're flying under the radar.
They are. I think Iowa's really set up well to win the West. Their toughest West games are at home, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Northwestern. So that'll help them a great deal. Their crossovers are pretty good. I mean, the West is going to come down to, guys, from now until the foreseeable future, who are your crossover games? That's what it's going to be, because there really isn't a huge difference among those seven. I mean, there are certainly tiers, and I think Iowa has the best talent of anyone right now in the West. And then I think you'd count, you know, maybe two or three schools kind of not too far away from them. But there's not nearly the separation. I would almost say top to bottom in the West, the separation is less than like from the top three or four in the East to number five. I mean, it's amazing to me what a drop-off there is in the East. In the West, you just don't see it. So it comes down to, do you have the good fortune of not having to play Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State in some combination there? We have some – Minnesota doesn't play any of them this year. Purdue doesn't play any of them. I don't think they're good enough to take advantage of it. But Minnesota might be good enough to take advantage of it. And then you have Wisconsin playing all three of them. So there's just a real inequity in the crossovers there, and I think it's profoundly going to impact who wins the West here going forward, because those three teams – are so much better than anyone else in the league. I mean, that was what we saw on our tour. They really have elite talent, and everyone else is trying to catch up to them. So that's the challenge. So I think Iowa, having to play only one of them, I think Iowa's really well positioned, and they have an experienced quarterback, and they bring back a lot from what, as you said, Mark, was a really, really good team last year that did not play well in its final game, and I think that left a bad taste in people's mouth.
Can you envision any scenario where Fitz is not at Northwestern, Dave?
In like the immediate future, or what's our timetable?
Let's say in 5 years, pick. I mean, schools have come after Fitz in the past. I mean, yeah. I feel like he's there for life, but maybe, I don't know how you're close to it. I'm just wondering how you see it.
Well, I've never spoken to him about kind of would you leave or what would it take me to leave. I'd be really surprised if he left in a 5-year timetable. I mean, I'd really be shocked. He's had a ton of opportunities. If Fitz wanted to coach somewhere else, he would. I think Northwestern is really well positioned right now. I mean, I think the arrow is pointing up in a huge way. This facility is going to be an unbelievable game changer in recruiting for them. Gorgeous location, but more than anything, it's what's going to be inside of it, the amenities, everything that's going to help them just get better as a program. I mean, it's a facilities arms race right now in college football, and Northwestern isn't just going to catch up in terms of the weekly, kind of the every day but Saturday facility. They're not just catching up. They're really going to pass most of the league. I mean, they'll be at the absolute upper tier of the Big Ten, and that really matters to kids in recruiting in this day and age. It's amazing what's going on, and when we tour the league to see what teams have. So the fact that they've gotten to where they have with essentially one arm tied, one hand tied behind their back, I think the sky's the limit right now for that program here going forward. So I don't really see any reason he'd want to. You have great leadership in place there. Jim Phillips is one of the best athletic directors in the country. Morty Shapiro is incredibly supportive of athletics. I mean, they're building like $500 million of athletic facilities right now, if you include the Welsh Ryan renovation, which is going to start. It's really incredible what's going on there.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dave. I mean, for Fitz to get the facilities he's going to have in a couple of years, you stick around to see that kind of dream realized and be able to build your program with everything and all the resources he's going to have and continue to have. That's pretty exciting for Northwestern. Let's flip to the other sort of local team here in the Chicago area. Lovie Smith in Illinois. I find it fascinating. I thought it was a great hire. The timing was weird, but given how much of a mess that situation has been the last few years, there's really no one better in my mind, and I covered Lovie, but for someone to pick up the pieces and kind of get everything back in order, Lovie is the perfect guy. And I noticed watching your guys's the videos from Champaign the other day that you guys put together, you guys seem surprised with even the talent that he's going to actually have to work with this year too.
That would have been another one where if you would have talked about surprises, they physically looked a lot better at him than they did last year when we were there. They've definitely, the strength and conditioning staff has done a nice job. They have an experienced quarterback, which helps a lot. I mean, if you can keep Wes Lunt healthy, he can really be good. And their defensive line is outstanding. I mean, it is an elite defensive line in the league. Now, I worry about the back seven a little bit, but this is Lovie's specialty, right? Yep. I mean, anyone who's followed the Bears knows that he's going to have a competitive defense. And I really believe that they will this year. What they're able to do up front in terms of creating pressure will really help them, and it plays perfectly into what Lovie Smith wants to do. So I think this could be a team that shows some improvement. Now, the schedule for them is challenging. I mean, they have Michigan and Michigan State on that schedule in their crossover, so they play two of the three elite teams from the other side. But I do think there's a chance for them to be improved, and then we'll see. I mean, recruiting is going to be the big question mark here. Is he going to be able to recruit at the level that you need to compete in the league year in and year out? And has the recruiting game progressed so much in the 20 years since he's been in college football that it will take him a while to catch up? I mean, I think Lovie Smith, he is a perfect guy to represent your school. I mean, anyone who's followed him at all, anyone in Chicago knows what a class act he is. He, I think, stands for all the right things. I think he's going to be really good in living rooms. But there's just all kinds of other stuff that goes into the recruiting world. And so I think that'll be part of the challenge here for Illinois. And frankly, kind of does he want to do it? I mean, I think that's part of it, too, is and I have no reason to believe he doesn't. But, I mean, I think that's the challenge when you've been out of it for a while and now you come back and say, man, now I got to go into these living rooms and pitch my school to 17 and 18-year-old kids. Some guys love it. Some guys don't. I have no reason to believe he won't. But it's something he hasn't done in 20 years. So I think it'll be interesting to see how he takes to it.
I completely agree with raising that question. I think it's a real
fair one. Question. But he's always been able to relate with players and families. And I think it'll work out in the end. Dave, last thing for you. It's kind of a two-part question here. Any teams on upset alert here in this first weekend? And will Wisconsin manage to score even a touchdown against Dave Aranda's defense in LSU?
That is a fascinating game, isn't it, Adam?
It really is.
It was a little uncomfortable being up there because you do have to ask the Dave Aranda question. And It's not that they didn't want to answer it. I just feel like it's kind of they're going to get it at ad nauseum this week with their former defensive coordinator now at LSU and Dave Aranda, who did such a fabulous job. I think that's going to be a really tough game for Wisconsin. We were I think the quarterback situation is a challenging one there. I don't think any we base it on one day that we were there. And so that's really hard because we have definitely seen instances where we've gone somewhere, a quarterback's had a bad day, and you walk away and you think, oh, man, I think they're in trouble there, and then they end up being fine. I mean, quarterbacks have bad days. We all know that. But neither Bart Houston nor Alex Hornibrook was particularly good the day we were there. Houston is going to be the starting quarterback for that game. So, yeah, I think that's a really challenging game for Wisconsin on a lot of different levels. But it's going to be a neat one. As far as teams on upset alert in week one, I mean, I think the Northwestern game's tricky against Western Michigan. PJ Fleck, that's a good team. Whether or not they would be upset, you know, I don't know. I'd be interested to see what Oregon State looks like in year two for them under Gary Anderson, who, of course, used to be at Wisconsin. They play Minnesota in the opener. I'd be surprised after a 2-10 year if they improve enough to beat the Gophers on the road. But, you know, maybe a little bit of a challenging game. I just worry Minnesota maybe looking past them. And Minnesota offensively was dreadful the day we were there. So I don't think they're going to score a ton of points. I'd say those would be the two. And then the Wisconsin-LSU game, obviously, is extremely challenging and not really upset alert. It's kind of the other way. It's can they, as you said, can they keep it close and maybe have a chance?
Dave Revson, the Big Ten Network. Check him out all season long. And, of course, when Hoops comes around as well. He also does great work in the happy baby pose and the low lunge. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that next time, Dave. Thanks for joining us, my friend.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Adam. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Rever.
Dave Revson, the Big Ten Network. I was in yoga class, yeah. And I look over, and there's Rev. And he's getting after it. And I'm like, wow. Dave Revson does yoga. I feel better about myself.
And see, I didn't mention the White Sox to him because Rever's also a big White Sox fan. And like me, has been sad.